Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I just thank God for having the opportunity to stand before you again and minister the Word of God. We are continuing on the series that I've been preaching on, which is Getaway Time with God. Amen. Once again, I always say this. This is not about God's grace allowing you to get away with whatever you're doing wrong. This is spending time with our God and understanding who He is and actually Him revealing Himself to us. Amen. So I'm just excited. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this time. Dear God, for you being here in this place. Dear God, we pray that your word would speak forth with clarity, oh God. I pray that you would anoint my lips, dear God, to be able to share your word and your message to these people today and even those that may be listening elsewhere. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Last week I was talking about Jesus, right? You know, if you missed service, you can say, hey, you might have been talking about Jesus. But I was talking about Jesus last week, and we talked about some of the times he got away, even after he did great things in God. Remember that? Who else did we talk about? Anybody remember? Joshua. Guys, remember Joshua? It was a time where Moses had just passed away, and the people of Israel were waiting for a word for God. And they couldn't know, they didn't know what to do. They had crossed the Red Sea. They went through the desert, the wilderness experience. And Joshua was the next leader. But he waited on God before he started moving. And, you know, that's something, that's a word in itself. We have to wait upon the Lord so we know what we're called to do. You know, a lot of people get saved. And, I mean, we see celebrities get saved. And the next week, they open up a church, right? You know, and it's not always a good thing. The Bible actually talks about do not let a novice or somebody that is new to this preach, lest they fall to temptation. You know what I'm saying? So once somebody gets saved, they're not called to go pulpit preach. You can share your testimony, you know, that's a powerful thing. But you have to just wait to see what God has called you for. And when God speaks it to you, then you go. Amen. Yesterday we were at a church service. At Victorious Life, and the pastor was talking about immediate obedience, right? What does that look like? When God tells you to do something, you don't wait. You just do it, right? Now, it's crazy how this happened. Last Wednesday, there were some young brothers that were on the street corner, and I invited them to come to church. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, and they end up not coming. But they end up going doing something wrong, and they get in trouble. One of them broke his leg because he was running away from some people because they had stole something. You know how it is. But God gave them an opportunity, and one of them knew that he was supposed to be here. But when you run from the voice of God, there's consequences. Amen? And thank God it wasn't worse than that. Like, if you rob somebody, nowadays people could kill you for that. You know, it could have been a lot worse, but thank God God was able to grab his attention. But he should have listened to the voice of God instantly. Amen. Art, you said you're in a situation where people around you are doing wrong. If you don't instantly listen to the voice of God, it's easy to drift away further and further. So when something happens, you say, hey, I'm going to be in tune with God so that I don't fall into the trap of the enemy. Instant obedience. Amen. And it's important. Being in tune with God and setting this time away with God allows you to hear his voice clearly so that when the enemy arises, and the Bible says the enemy will come rushing in like a flood, but the people of God will raise up a standard against that. Amen. And the standard is having a connection with God and knowing what to do. There's nothing worse than a church being lost and trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. When crisis happens, we shouldn't be like, oh, I don't know. What should I do? No, we know we need to pray, and we know we need to do what God's word says. We see the Ebola. Is that how they say it? Ebola, my bad. They had E. coli back in the day, so I got them mixed up. You know what I'm saying? But they see, you see all the terror of that and people riding on planes and they might have it. You know, we don't know what's going on. But we do not know that in the last days there's going to be pestilence. There's going to be a whole bunch of diseases. There's going to be rumors of wars and wars. There's going to be all of this coming, but we must continue to preach the gospel. Amen. And share with people what the hope, where our hope lies. Amen. After Joshua, we talked about Samuel. Samuel was a young prophet who had to learn how to be in connection with God. There's a story and there's a lot of hunking. I don't know what's going on out there. But there was a lot of stories, or there was a lot of times where he was, this one night in particular, he was sitting and waiting on God. You guys might want to check just in case, because there's people breaking into cars. Okay, yep. Okay, cool. But Samuel had to learn the voice of God. He woke up early in the late night, and he thought the priest was calling his name, and he was like, "Are you calling me? Are you calling me?" And he's like, "No, I didn't call you." So he got up and did this three times. Man, you gotta be calling me, right? And what the priest told him was like, "Oh, God is speaking to him. He's hearing the voice of God." So he said, "Next time you hear the voice of God, say, speak, for your servant is listening." And at that moment, the prophet Samuel, a young boy, was able to hear from God and know what God had called him to do. And not only did he know what God had called him to do, the people of Israel knew that he was called for that. So this is the importance of being in tune with God. Amen. I got a few more scriptures that I want to go to. A prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. I always look at Isaiah with special light because this is my middle name. And you know, when your parents name you something in the Bible, it better be good, right? I was talking today, I said, man, if somebody named their kids Delilah, you must have not read the Bible. Or Jezebel, like, come on, man, don't do that, right? But let's read this. And the title of this is called Isaiah Called to Be a Prophet. It said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." All right. "Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" So Isaiah is saying, hold up. He sees God, right? And this happens because he was in right connection with God, righteousness, in prayer with God, in tune with God. And he was so in tune with God that he was like, oh my goodness, I just saw heaven. And I just saw God, and I should die. That's what he's saying, because the presence of God was so powerful. Amen. We see this. This is what happens when you are connected with God. Sometimes God will reveal some of these things to us. Now, I'm not telling everybody that we all have to go see heaven, right? In a vision like that. That's not the point of this scripture. The point of this is Isaiah was in connection with God, and God is about to reveal to him something. Amen. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, here I am, send me. Now, see, look, check this out. God is asking this same question today. He's asking, who am I going to send? Right? And if we're not in tune with the voice of God, we won't hear that. Or we'll ignore it. Like, God, I'm not going. And we could do just like him. I'm not worthy of it. But God anointed him to do that. He said he purged his sin and his iniquity was taken away. But the key to this whole thing was Isaiah saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. When we're in prayer, we'll know what he's going to send us to. First of all, he haven't even said where he was going, but Isaiah was like, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Like, I know you got something good because I'm in your presence. I'm in connection with you. So I'm just going to say, here I am. You know, it's like them kids that if you're in school and they're like, all right, I need a volunteer. And the kids raise their hand. Yeah, yeah. And they don't even know what they're going to do yet. You know, if it's a good teacher, they're going to take care of you. Right. And that's kind of what God is. He's the good teacher. But he said, here I am, send me. And then in verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make their heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they will see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand their heart and return to be healed. So what the message that he had wasn't a good message for the people of Israel. It was saying basically they're seeing things that God is doing, but they don't understand it. They hear it, but they can't hear it. Right? It's just like there's people that I have brothers that grew up in church. Some of them are in church sometimes, some of them are not. They heard the same word that I heard. Right? They saw some of the same things I saw. Miracles take place, God changing people's lives. They saw the same things. But they have not understand and come to grips with who God is yet. And we're praying that they will. Amen. And it's not a shot at them. God has to reveal that to them. And sometimes we have to want that to be revealed to us. Amen. But what I am saying is that this word was to tell the people that they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it right now. Let's find out why. It says, then I said, "How, Lord, how long?" And he answered, until the cities are laid waste without inhabitants, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So it was saying that basically there's people that are, these people were not adhering to the voice of God. They kept on following their own thing. They had their own plans. And all of us have had our own plans before, right? God's like, yo, I need you to go do this. And you're like, yo, I can't do that right now. I got plans of my own. I got to do what I got to do me, right? We've all been there. And there's a time where God will say, okay, I've gave you enough warnings. Now I'm just going to let it be silent for a while until you yield to me and obey me. You know, I was talking to my wife earlier today about prophecy. And, you know, there's a lot of people that they can't wait for somebody to prophesy over their lives. Right? They can't wait for somebody to tell them what God has to say to them. They just can't wait. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy prophets. But the problem is when you're not in connection with God for yourself, right? When you're not in connection with God for yourself, if you're in connection with God, he's already telling you what the prophet's going to come tell you. So what some people do is they you know, it's like Staples. They press the easy button. Let me go to a prophet. He's coming to tell. I ain't prayed in 3 months. All right. Or I might have just said grace over my food, you know. But they want the easy way out. A prophet, he could tell me. And that's not always the best thing. Matter of fact, there's a scripture in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible where God told one prophet, he told him to go deliver this word in this land, right? You deliver the word in this land and leave the land. Don't eat with nobody. Come back. Now, this scripture is a crazy scripture. I was reading this and I kept reading it. I was like, man, this is crazy. So he went and delivered the word. And the king that was there was like, hey, man, you want to come have dinner with me? Thank you. I needed that. Right. And he's like, God told me not to have dinner with anybody. I had to go back home. Right. So he's on the way back home. And just before he's getting out of town, an older prophet comes up and says, hey, man, come eat with me. Come to my house and eat. So the younger prophet goes with him. He's like, cool, I'm gonna go to his house. So when he gets in his house, he's eating, and the older prophet begins to prophesy and said, God told you not to eat with nobody. He said, go home. So since you did not obey, your life is going to be taken. So he walks out the door, and immediately he was ate by a lion, right? Now some people would look at that and be like, but he was listening to another prophet, but the problem was he disobeyed God's voice. He had a connection with God. He could have asked God, God, is this okay? Like, I know you said don't, but he didn't do that. He just said, oh, this other prophet, he's a wise man. Let me go to his house. But the problem was he missed what God told him to do. If we are in connection with God, we'll know what God wants us to do, and we will not follow another way. Amen? And it's important that we learn this. That scripture is a hard scripture to digest, especially for somebody that's like, well, does that mean we don't obey the old? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. What it does mean is if God has told you to do something, no man should change that. Amen? So it's time for us to make sure we are in tune with God. Amen? After that, the whole book of Isaiah is a very prophetic book, and he continues to try to get the nation of Israel to follow God. Then he actually has revelations and all that in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a pretty heavy book. Like, it almost has everything in the Bible in that book. And I'm not going to read that whole book today. Amen. Let's go to Revelations chapter 1. In my continued journey through the Bible, this time, that's where I'm at right now in Revelations. And you know, sometimes we're scared to read Revelations. Some of us be like, oh, man, I don't want to read that book. But there's nothing scary in that book, especially if you know what happens at the end. Amen. And you got to read it with a sound mind. Don't go reading Revelations like, man, I need to get something deep that nobody else has preached before. That's not what the book of Revelations is for. Amen. It's to display to us what's going to happen. And really, man, it's a great book to read. I'm going to read this chapter. Chapter 1 of Revelations. And when you got it, you can say amen. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. This is really why Revelations was written. It says it in the first book. To show his servants things which must surely take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. It says this, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. All right, so we get to see who this was revealed to first. Who was it revealed to? Come on, say this. The only person's name you heard? John, that's right. John is the only name in there besides the servants, and that's us. We're all servants of God. But John, it was revealed to John. So what does this tell me about John? He had to be in connection with God to even get this whole book, right? I mean, the whole Bible, I don't care what verse it is. Every part of the Bible, they had to be in connection with God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture was God-breathed and is useful for correcting, rebuking, and training up in righteousness and fully making the man of God fully complete. Amen. And I'm paraphrasing. So if you need to go read that, we can go do that. But John, we look at Revelations and the prophetic books, to me, are a little bit... I just look at them in a different light, because when you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were writing what they saw, right? John is writing what he saw in a vision. A lot of the stuff John was writing didn't happen yet, right? So we get to see his connection with God allowed him to see something that had yet to happen. And see, when we're connected with God, that's what God will do. He will show us visions and dreams of who he's called us to be. Amen. Have you ever had a dream and you see you walking in the will of God and you're like, man, did I see that? You wake up and be like, okay, God. And sometimes we want it tomorrow, right? God has revealed some things to us, but then there's things that we have to do to be in line with his will. We have to get lined up. It's great to want to have a packed church, right? We want to see our church grow. But then when that happens, we got to be ready to be able to disciple everybody. Because church is not about just growth. It's about discipling. And that's training them up in God. So when somebody else comes in, they can train the next person up. Right? The problem with the church today is the pastor's the only one that disciples. And if that happens and you got 20 people that need to be discipled, what happens is you can't do it all. And it's like, man, I don't have time. And then the pastor's running out of time. He's like, because he didn't learn how to disciple people. Amen. Jesus discipled the disciples. And did you know that after them, there were more disciples? There was 12 that were with Jesus. Where there was 12 main disciples, but Jesus had over 70 disciples. So what he did was teach them. You guys go teach the next people. Exactly what I told them. And then you see how the church multiplied in the book of Acts, how the disciples, after Jesus had left, started discipling the new people. Amen? So it's important to be in connection with God. Let's look at what happens. It said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, it says this, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It says in verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at this. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. All right. Now we see he was in the spirit. What does that mean? He's talking to God. He's at a place where he's worshiping God. And now, I mean, I don't know if you guys have been in the spirit before. Like, I'll tell you this. I've never had any drugs in my life. That's my testimony. But I've been in worship before, and I was like, man, I feel like I'm gone. I'm serious. I was worshiping, and we had a worship service. We just worshiped the whole time, and we didn't want to leave. Why? And that's what worship does. When you worship God, it gets your mind off of everything else that's going on. And that's really what people use drugs for, to get their minds off what's going on. But worship is the real antidote for that. When you worship God, he'll take you to another place. And that's where John was. He was in worship, and he said he was in the spirit. All right? So he knew that this is something that he wouldn't have got on his own. This is something that God had to reveal to him. Verse 10 says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia. We all know that one, right? And to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And on the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Now, it's interesting because remember Isaiah had the same thing happen, right? He saw God and was like, "Man, I should be dead." John was like, you know, he probably fainted, like, "Oh my gosh." He was laying on the ground, was like, "Oh." And Jesus touched him, and he was like, "Oh, snap." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." So, and I always look at this scripture, and people want to use this to try to explain the color of Jesus, you know, and don't use this revelation scripture to explain what color Jesus was. All right? Let me tell you why, because you haven't seen anybody with fiery eyes, right? This is a spiritual state of God. And if you guys want to look at more spiritual states of Jesus, when he was on the mountain and it was called the mountain, and he transfigured in front of the disciples, they were like, "Oh my goodness, should we do something? Because this is amazing." And they bowed down because they were scared. But that shows you the difference between Jesus's earthly state and his spiritual state. Amen. It says, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold," verse 18, "I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven gold lampstands, the seven churches are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." Amen. Then it goes to explain different churches that were in Asia. And I really believe that these churches are still represented today. We can look at, and that's the power of God's word. God's word does not return void. It's not in the Bible just for the people that were in Asia. We can learn from it today. Amen. Excuse me. It talks about the loveless church, the church that was in love with God and fell out of love with God. Then it talked about the persecuted church. And see, we can see some of these today, right? You got people in ISIS who are being persecuted for their faith, and God tells them to continue on even in the midst of persecution. Then it says the next one is the compromising church. Anybody seen the compromising church? What does that mean? That means we know what being saved is, but the world is saying this, so we're going to lean a little bit towards what the world's doing, just a little bit, and before they know it, they're fully compromised, right? So you see that church, and these are all the things that God had to reveal to John. You see the corrupt church, those that are the church, but they're wolves in sheep clothing, waiting to attack and hurt different people, right? You have that church. Let's see what other church it has. You have the dead church, the ones that are just coming together and nothing's happening. They don't believe in the power of God. So it's just like, hey, we just have church just because it's a great social club. That's the dead church. Then they have the faithful church. Praise God, there's a good one in there. Amen. The faithful ones are the ones that are remaining faithful to God despite the things that are going on in the world. Amen. And then it had the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church, who was neither cold nor hot. And God was like, "I wish you were one or the other, but since you're not, I'm going to have to spit you out." And not only do we see these churches, the scriptures that it says, if you look at all the last verses that were written to the churches, if you go to chapter 2, the first one, it starts at verse 7. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." All right? He who has an ear. That's something that we have to look at, because God is trying to speak to the churches. And each church, it says, he who has an ear, hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So what does that mean? We as the churches, the body of Christ, and us being the church ourselves, have to be in connection with God so we can hear what he's saying. Amen? If we are not in connection with God, what we begin to do is we begin to be like those churches that I mentioned. Because the more that I resist the voice of God, or I just don't submit to hear his voice, the more I become compromised. The more I become lukewarm. The more that I become corrupted, because I'm not hearing God's voice and I'm not activating what God wants me to activate. Amen. So this is important. These are important ways for us to understand how crucial hearing the voice of God is. We have to be in a place where God's voice is clear to us. If not, we're missing our whole purpose in life. You know, and there's nothing worse than Pastor Nate. He always said this. He was like, if you go to a graveyard, there's a lot of people who didn't fulfill their purpose. Some of them died young. Some of them died old. But a lot of them did not reach the purpose that God had for their life. I'm not going to say all of them, because some of them might have. But if we die today, would God say he fulfilled the purpose that I have for him? And that's a tough thing to think about. Like, none of us want to be like, oh, if I die today. Most of us would be like, man, God, I know I still got more to fulfill in you. So it's a call for us to make sure that we're being in tune with God. It doesn't matter how old you are. Like I was saying last week, Pastor Willie been preaching for 16 years. My parents been ministering since I've been born. So 30 years at least. I always like to think I'm 20 still, you know what I'm saying? But 30 years, and they still have to be in tune with God to know what he's calling them to do right now. Yesterday's prayers cannot get you through today. Amen? And sometimes we think it can. We think grandma's prayers can take care of us. No, God wants you to be connected so that you can hear the voice of God. Amen? I got to share this dream that I had. I had this dream, and it was God speaks to me a lot through dreams. And in this dream, I was at a church, and in a dream, I knew the pastor. And I was in his church, and he was preaching something that wasn't God. And in my dream, I was like, this is not right. You know, and I stood up. I said, that's not right, in the middle of the church. And they was kicking me out and everything like that. And I was like, man, and they made it seem like I was wrong. But in my dream, I was like, man, God, why'd I have this dream? A few years later, we went to this pastor's church, right? And I said, man, I got to tell you this dream, bro. I didn't want to do it. This is not easy going to somebody else and telling them, man, like, I got to tell you, God gave me this dream about you. This is what it was. So I told him, and thank God he was receptive to it. And he was like, man, I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And God has changed my heart since then. Amen. And I was like, cool. Because I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything here, you know. So what God does, a lot of times when you're in connection with God, he'll even use your dreams. My mom always had dreams about something, you know. I always have dreams about people, and a lot of times it's not just so I can know what people are doing, it's so I know how to pray for them, right? It's, okay, I need to pray for this person, because even if I don't clearly understand what happened in this dream, God is speaking to me to encourage me to pray for that person, amen? And it's important. It comes with being in connection with God. We're going to talk about Job. Now, we're not going to read all the bad things that happened to Job, but we're going to go to the end of Job when Job was looking for answers. Somebody say he was looking for answers. A lot of times we get to a place where we are looking for an answer. And Job's older friends came and said, dude, you had to do something wrong. You was jacking things up. Come on, man, just admit it. You was sinning. You was doing it. You were wrong. And Job's like, man, I ain't did nothing. I didn't do anything, right? Then the young man, the youngest of them all, his name was Elihu. How you say his name? Elihu. E-L-I-H-U. And let's go to chapter 32 of Job. And when you get it, you can say amen. Some of them. Elihu, okay. You know, some of them Old Testament names. It'd be tough sometimes. Watch, you'll see in a second. It says, so these three men cease answering Job. These are the older ones. Because he was righteous in his own eyes. So they thinking he's righteous in his own eyes. They're like, man, we've already told him what the thing is, but he don't want to hear it from us, right? It says, then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, that's an easy one right there, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Now, listen to this. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answers and yet had condemned Job. So the young man is understanding that these guys are wrong and Job is wrong, right? But how did he understand this? It wasn't just because he was Judge Judy, right? We all see Judge Judy before, where she just gets the case and tries to figure it out. And sometimes she's going to go in on a person that's right. We don't know what the deal is. But if Judge Judy says, you're wrong, you're wrong. But Elihu, he sensed by being in connection with God that everybody in the room was wrong. He said, everybody's wrong. It says, now because they were older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. Now, see, even in this, we see that E, I'm just going to call him E from now on, all right? The homie E, the young guy, he did not want to disrespect the older people. And this is key, because you see Samuel, you see Joshua, you see young E, all these people waited until it was time for them. They didn't push the older people away and say, man, get out the way, man. You don't got a word from God no more. I got the word from God. They didn't do that. They knew how to respect their elders. And this is important for when you are in God, this should never be you disrespecting anybody. If you think you're in God and you're disrespecting people and you're trying to put somebody down, you have to check yourself because that's not God. God does everything in decency and in order. It says, when E saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So E, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid. Listen to that. Now, some of us younger people, we are afraid to speak what God has told us to speak. So he says, and dare not declare my own opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in a man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So look, what is he saying right here? He is saying that the spirit of, and he's not even talking about the spirit of God right here yet, but the spirit that's in him, if you are connected with God, God will give you understanding. I look at my life and a lot of times there was things that I was able to do that some of my peers were not able to do even before them. I got to drive some of my friends' parents' cars before they got to drive them because they saw not how old I was, but because of the maturity that God had given me. Amen. So what we see here is he wants to still respect them, but he's saying, listen, if God can speak to me, it doesn't matter what age I am. Amen. It says, great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore, I say, listen to me. I will also declare my opinion. Indeed, I have waited for your words. I have listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say we have found wisdom, God will vanquish him, not man. Now he has directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them. And I have waited because they do not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within compels me. Somebody say compels me. Now it's important. Being connected with God, God will compel you. Does anybody know what compel means? Motivate. Push you. Right? A lot of times when you're compelled to do something, it's like, man, I can't hold it back anymore. I got to go do it. That's what the Spirit was doing to him. Amen. It says, indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. It's funny how they say stuff back in the day. He just couldn't hold it. He's like, man, I got to say this. You know, like now we'd be like, man, I can't hold it. We don't say, man, it's like wine and old skins about to burst, you know. So that's, you got to always see how they said stuff in the Bible. It said, I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answers. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man. For I do not know how to flatter, else my maker will soon take me away. Now, key to hearing God, and not only hearing God, but walking out what God wants you, is not to try to flatter people, right? Now, I've been in church services where people try to flatter people. I hate to say this, but in a lot of African-American churches, the pastor will be like, somebody needs a blessing. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of them is like, they need a blessing. And they're like, hey, yeah. And he starts flattering these people with the word that you can say to anybody. I can go preach that in any church right now, and somebody's going to be like, I need a blessing. Right. Anywhere. Now, the problem is, if you go to a church where all these people are wealthy and they don't need a blessing, and you preach that same message, is it going to hit them? No, because you're trying to flatter somebody. That's why it's important to be in tune with God's voice and know what he's speaking, not a financial blessing preaching word every time you go somewhere. Amen. So he said, I'm not here to show partiality to anyone, and I'm not here to flatter nobody. I'm not here to please anybody. Right. Chapter 33 says, but please, Job, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from an upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely, no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your word saying, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there is no iniquity in me. Yet he finds, whose he is God, occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. Look in this, you are not righteous, I will answer you. For God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. And it's powerful because even in here, we get to see some of the ways that God speaks. It's telling them that even in dreams, God will speak to people. Amen. So far, anybody know what's going on? He's telling Job, okay, you thought you were righteous, but I got to tell you, you're not righteous. None of us are righteous. Amen. The Bible says, no, not one, except for Jesus. 17 says, in order to turn man from his deeds and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many bones. so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from the sight, and his bones stick out, which one were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the executioners. If there is a message for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him. It says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be like a child's. I'm sorry. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. Then he looked at men and says, I have sinned and perverted what was right, and it did not profit me. He will redeem his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall be light. Behold, God works all these things twice, in fact, three times with a man, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. Give ear, Job. Listen to me. Hold your peace and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I will desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Hold your peace and I will teach you wisdom. So he continues to go on. And I might read some. Well, I'll give you the story in short. He continues to go on. And first right there, he says, even those that think they're right, there's going to be times where they're going to have to repent and say, God, I am messed up, God. And it said God will take them out and put them in a clean place. And he said it doesn't just happen once or twice. It might even happen three times. And when the Bible says three times, that doesn't literally just mean three times in real life. That means it might be continuing to happen. So he's like, Job, you think you're right, but there's going to be times in your life where God has to show you something. And if you look at the story of Job, it's an interesting book, because Job, at the beginning of the book, it says he was an upright man, right? And Satan came to God and said, I'm going to go after him because I don't think he can stand. So God says, okay, well, I believe he will. Right. So what Job gets to see, even though he was upright, and this is something for us that have been in the body of Christ for a long time. Even when you think you're upright, what happens is when you go through something, some of us start blaming God like Job did. Right. Come on, God, I've been doing all this and you're going to allow this to happen. But what God had to show him was, don't be self-righteous when you're right. Don't think that you're right all the time. Understand that my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, right? And we don't understand that sometimes. God's ways is higher than our ways. But God, I've been saved for 45 years, right? His ways are still higher. God, I've been in close connection with you. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So even when you think something is going wrong, be in connection with God and say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I accept it. And that's what Job had to get to. He had to say, God, even though you slay me, I will still trust you. Amen. It is important that we be in connection with God. And I think that with Job, a lot of the stuff that was going on in his life, it allowed him to try to find answers. He was looking for answers everywhere, from his friends. His wife left him, so he couldn't get an answer from there, right? But he was like, man, God, I need an answer. And he wasn't in a place where he had to sit down and allow God to hear him or God to speak to him. And sometimes because of the cares of life that are running rapid in our life, it allows us to lose connection. Amen. And we were talking about fasting last week. There's times where if I'm praying and I continually feel like I'm getting distracted by different things, I say, I need to fast. I'm not waiting for somebody else to call a fast. I need a fast so I can concentrate on God. Amen. And that way I can have my connection clear with God. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I think I'm done with this series. October had been a prayer month. We went in on prayer. Precious is going to preach next week. And she told me God changed hers around so she could talk about prayer as well. So that's a good thing, because my wife loves to pray. Amen. But let us just pray. that we stay in connection with God. Amen. That we get in a place where we hear God's voice clearly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. God, we want to glorify you in all that you do, dear God. We pray that through these stories, dear God, that we would understand the importance of us connecting with God, us being in connection and fulfilling the purpose and the mission that you've given us in our life, oh God. Just like Isaiah, just like John, you've called us to do great things for your kingdom, oh God. So we pray that we would hear it, oh God. Dear God, help us not to be like Job in the sense that we think we know it all. We think we're righteous, dear God. We think we don't need you. Dear God, we know that we need you, oh God. We know that we alone are not worthy, but you alone are worthy, oh God. So I pray, dear God, against anything that is confusing our minds, oh God. Dear God, that we would be willing to yield to your voice, oh God, and to yield to your purpose and call for our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, man, we are.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.